First, it's that wonderful time of year when tomatoes are plentiful, whether you're growing them yourself or you're picking them up at a local farm stand or a store. So we thought it was a great time to check in with Deb Millian about how to use our tomatoes fresh and how to preserve them to enjoy them year-round. Deb is an online writer, recipe developer, homemaker, and traveler. On her website, WisconsinHomemaker.com, she shares her favorite family-friendly recipes along with helpful seasonal tips for your home and garden. She's also a Wisconsinite who loves to travel throughout the state to find and try new products and produce made right here in Wisconsin. Deb, nice to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Before we get into specific ideas for using tomatoes, how do you know when they're ripe and really ready to eat?
Well, it depends upon what you're using them for. For example, if you're going to be using green tomatoes for a recipe, then you don't need to worry. You catch them when they're just green. But when you're looking for real ripe tomatoes, you want them to be firm, not to have any blemishes on them or cuts. Although, like if you're getting, if you're growing or purchasing heirloom tomatoes, sometimes those deformities that are on the tomato actually add and enhance its nature, but it really doesn't hurt it at all or bother the taste. So if I were going to a grocery store, I would be looking for, you know, bright red tomatoes if I'm looking for a beefsteak or Roma, and nice, shiny, firm flesh. And that's basically how you kind of look for it. If it's really squishy, I would kind of, you know, steer clear of those. If you're growing them in your garden, however, and they haven't really gone, you know, moldy, for example, they would be absolutely perfect for sauces and for juices. Mm-hmm. So it just depends, again, on what you're planning on using them for.
What about that in between, say, for instance, you have, you know, tomatoes that are kind of in that orangey green range, but you're worried about critters in your backyard getting to them before you can. What do we do with those? Do we trust the process, or do we pick them and bring them in?
You can actually bring them in if you want to. Usually what I'd like to do is to lay them out close to either a window and let them redden naturally, or you can put them in like a paper bag and let them do that as well. The one thing you do not want to do with tomatoes is put them in the refrigerator, because that'll make them become very mealy and they won't taste as fresh as it would be if you just let them finish ripening on your counter. So like if you're coming to the end of the season, and we're kind of in the middle to the end of it, and we've got a little bit of time before the first frost. So what I would suggest is just, you know, use what you can. And then if you do have any extra that you want to, you know, start canning or whatever, you know, start them, you know, ripening and kind of spread it out over time. Because if anyone's garden's like mine, at times, you know, you have this, you know, it's like feast or famine. And so you try to use them up as quickly as possible when they're at their prime.
Right. They're not ready when you want them to be. And then everything's ready at the same time and you just can't get through them. Deb Millian is an online writer, recipe developer, homemaker, and traveler. And we're getting tips on what to do with all of those tomatoes that signal a turning point in the summer. And you're part of this conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorite way to use tomatoes or how you have a strategy for handling that bounty when they all become ripe all at the same time. That number again is 800-642-1234. Deb, you shared a few recipes with us. You can find them. People can find them over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's start with a simple no-cook recipe, the classic caprese salad. Walk us through that.
Okay. This is actually one of my favorite summertime salads because it really takes minimal ingredients. So you can use anything from cherry tomatoes to beefsteak, Romas, whatever you have on hand. And you'll slice them and kind of layer them with like buffalo mozzarella, or you can even use mozzarella balls. And then I like to tear up basil on top of it and then just sprinkle it lightly with some extra virgin olive oil or even a little bit of balsamic vinegar. and then just salt and pepper to taste. You can even add a little bit of red wine vinegar if you have that, or even white distilled vinegar, and then have at it. You can eat it as a salad. You can make it as a meal. We've also, in our family, we've put it on toasted bread and layered it up with fresh sliced salami and made it into a great summertime meal that's even perfect for picnics. It's really amazing.
Well, and it's got such a bright and fresh taste to everything. Like, it just feels right. Like you just picked it, whether, you know, you had that tomato for a couple of days or not. It just feels so refreshing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It is. And what I like to do is just let everything, you know, kind of marinate for, 10, 15 minutes before I serve it. And it's ready to go anytime.
You've mentioned that the balsamic vinegar is optional, which I wouldn't have considered. Why do you use it sometimes and maybe not others?
The thing about balsamic vinegar is, you know, a lot of people think you just pour it on like salad dressing, but balsamic vinegar in for the Italians actually is just more like a really light dressing. And when you drizzle just a little bit on over everything, just a really light dusting of it, it really adds another depth of flavor to it. And if you wanted to go, you know, like say you want to go more acidic type of thing, then I would go to the red wine vinegar, which is not listed on the recipe. But I've done that as well, where you kind of create more of a salad-y type of caprese. But the one thing I wanted to mention too is this also is really great if you make skewers. So if you're doing like an appetizer, going to a pool party, or you just want to do something fun, you can, you know, get the round buffalo balls and the cherry tomatoes, and then put a little piece of basil in between and make really delicious skewers. So they go very well for appetizers as well.
Everything is more fun when you're eating it off of a stick.
I know.
It just skewer the tomato and the mozzarella and just go for it. Uh-huh. And Mary on Facebook mentioned that tomato, onion, greens, and hummus on toast is Mary's go-to lunch this summer. That sounds delicious.
It does. You can't go wrong with hummus because hummus is just loaded with protein and lots of flavor. So, yeah, I love it.
And the element of crunch, because sometimes, you know, tomatoes don't always have the most exciting texture. So if you bring in the hummus and the onion and the toast, then you've made it a little more interesting, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because basically what it is like, say, for example, this caprese salad, it's just a start. And from there, you can build on it. Like the salad can even be expanded to be like an antipasto salad where you can make it like a panzella type of salad, an Italian salad where you add like dried bread and then you add your dressing on top of that, along with, you know, diced salami and pepperoncinis and all the and different olives and you just mix it up and you have a summer salad. So this is why I think the Italians really like the salad, and I love it too, because it's just a springboard for many different tastes and expressions of eating.
Gabe on Facebook agrees. Gabe says basil, balsamic, and mozz 100%. So I think we have some people in agreement with you there, Deb. It's Food Friday, and we're talking tomatoes with Deb Melian. She's an online writer. She develops recipes. She travels across the state. She's got a website, wisconsinhomemaker.com, where we can find favorite family recipes, along with helpful seasonal tips for our home and garden. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite variety of tomato that you grow or that you buy? Maybe you enjoy them fresh, or your real purpose is to preserve them, enjoy them in the colder months. Give us a call now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Food Friday continues here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. Thanks for being with us on Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We are continuing our Food Friday conversation about tomatoes with Deb Melian. She's an online writer and a recipe developer. And we also have recipes that we're talking with her today posted on our website at WPR.org/Food Friday. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you to tell us how you've been using tomatoes this summer. Maybe you have a favorite tomato recipe you'd like to share. Perhaps you grow your own. Do you have a favorite variety or one that seems to be growing particularly well this year? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. We've got Miriam from Taylor's Falls, Minnesota on the line. Hi, Miriam.
Hello there.
What are you thinking when we're talking about tomatoes?
Well, when I was strapped for time one year, I discovered just the easiest way that preserves incredibly intense tomato flavor. And I've used it with everything from cherry tomatoes to big fat slices, you know. With the cherry tomatoes, I just cut them in half. With the rest of them, I slice them into quarter-inch slices, kind of across, you know, horizontally, and spread them out edge to edge, on a rimmed cookie sheet that's lightly oiled with olive oil. Just totally cover it with those slices. Drizzle it lightly with olive oil and garlic or garlic salt, powdered garlic, however you like, and put them in the oven at about, I think, 375, 400, and roast them until they're just starting to get toasty brown. And then I take them off and put them in the freezer. Put the whole cookie sheet in the freezer until they freeze, and then take the slices off with a cookie spatula and pop them right into freezer boxes, and you have access to those slices of tomatoes all winter.
Miriam, yeah, thank you for describing that for us. I bet your place smells so good when that is happening. That really just sounds delicious. And Deb, is Miriam getting more flavor from those tomatoes because of that little bit of roasting they're doing ahead of time?
Absolutely. When you do roast them, whether you grill them or roast them, you're actually bringing the flavors out. And it just enhances the depth of what tomatoes are all about. And in fact, what she was talking about is absolutely perfect, because you can even take them from whether you freeze them, or you can even put those same tomatoes into olive oil, and you can pack them with some peppercorns or garlic, and you can actually make what we call like sun-dried tomatoes. It doesn't have to be the tomatoes don't have to be, you know, reduced in size via the sun. You can use your oven for that, just as you can with dehydrating them and that. So by doing that, you're actually giving the depth of flavor to it. And then by freezing it, I agree, you can have them, you know, for as what, six to 12 months in your freezer and have them available. But you can also freeze them by just slicing them. And what I like to suggest is putting them on a tray, wrapping plastic around them, you know, but quarter them, you know, and put them in the freezer, let them freeze, and then bag them as quarters. And then that way you can take out, it'll actually cause them to become individualized, and then you can take out however much you want for the season. So that way you can really freeze things quickly and use up your tomatoes if you're really, you know, getting backed up with trying to figure out what to do with them.
And then you would use those frozen tomatoes in things that you'd cook, like sauces or, you know, casseroles or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. You can come up with like over 33 ways of what you can do with them. But you can juice them, which is like a great starter for like Bloody Marys, for example, if you want to do that, or make like a V8 type of juice, a healthy juice. You could juice them. You can make soup, like a tomato, French tomato bisque soup, which is absolutely wonderful, which a lot of folks love to dip like grilled cheese in them. You can make tomato sauces. And one of the simplest ones that I know of is to make it with like onion and a little bit of butter and tomatoes, and you cook it over in a large fry pan and for about 30-40 minutes, and it makes the most amazing rich sauce you've ever had. It's just delicious, and then you kind of garnish with some basil. So yeah, it's, you can make, you can even use it to make salsas and pico de gallo, tomato paste, ketchup, pizza sauce. And that's why I love to freeze it, because it gives you time to be able to, you know, use it in all these different recipes.
Marianne on Facebook says BLTs or pico de gallo. So that's certainly on the list. We are talking with Deb Melian, who's walking us through our options as the tomatoes ripen or maybe don't late in the summertime. This is Food Friday here on Central Time, and we're going from Bloody Marys to salsas, everything in between. And Deb, you also have a recipe for cheesy tomato onion tart. Will you take us through that?
Yes. This is a very elegant meal, but it can be used both as a meal and as an appetizer. And basically, what you'll do is, I like to use a Pillsbury, like a refrigerated pie crust type of thing. You'll put it in like a tart pan, and then in a fry pan, large skillet, you're going to add some olive oil, onion, salt, and pepper. And then you're going to cook these onions down until they're nice and softened. And for about 10 minutes. And then what you're going to do is lay these out in the pie, on the pie, across the pie crust, and then add cherry tomatoes. Now you can slice them or you can leave them whole. And then you layer it with cheese. And I like to use like Fontina and Gruyere, because it really gives a little bit of a bite to the cheese and really melts beautifully. And then you'll sprinkle some basil and then put that into the bake for about 25 minutes until the crust is golden brown. And it's easy to slice. You can hold it in the palm of your hand if you want, if you let it come to room temperature, and it's amazingly delicious.
We're talking through a few recipes with Deb Melian. Still just a bit of time for you here on Food Friday. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 to share what you want about tomatoes, whether it's your favorite recipe or how you handle them and preserve them. 800-642-1234. And Deb, you mentioned this from the very beginning, that you can use green tomatoes. They do not have to be that beautiful color of red. So we've got a solution for the end of the season for those tomatoes that don't quite ripen: Wisconsin fried green tomatoes. How do we make them?
Okay. For that, what you're going to do is you'll use like about 4 cups of sliced green tomatoes. And for this recipe, you're going to use flour rather than cornmeal. And you'll use about 1 cup of that. And to that, you're going to add some paprika, garlic powder, cayenne pepper, and mix that all up together. You'll dredge the green tomatoes, kind of pat off any excess flour, and then put it in a pan with some vegetable oil and fry on both sides. It takes about 7 to 10 minutes total. And then you have an appetizer that is just amazing. It just, you know, we talked about bringing out the, you know, roasting it in the oven, but when you cook it like this on in a skillet, it just brings out those flavors. And you wouldn't think, because I was a naysayer, I have to admit, in the beginning, but once I had them, I am just, you know, anywhere I can get them. And I really do look forward to the end of the season when that's all I will have is green tomatoes, and I'll fry these up and my family just loves them.
Yeah, I have to say, I've tried this twice, and once was a fantastic success, and I have no idea what I did the other time. I just destroyed them. They did not work. It was not a pretty sight. Is there any sort of trick or any kind of a tip that we should keep in mind when we're trying out a new recipe like this?
Well, what I like to do is just, I try to follow it, you know, as close as possible, and then I veer from that. But with the green tomatoes, usually they are pretty firm anyways, and they will hold up under the heat. And sometimes cooking them less is best, you know, because sometimes if you overcook them, they might get a little bit gushy, but for the most part, I think, you know, you should be fine with this one. And if you want, you can even, after you get done, you can par cook them and then just put them in the oven and then finish and then bake them, finish with the baking of them and put it like at 350, 375 and then bring them out probably after about 10, 15 minutes and you're all set there too. So you do have some options.
Yeah. And as we wrap up, Deb, you know, you do a lot of canning and preserving. Is there anything in particular we should keep in mind when we're trying to can tomatoes?
Well, the thing about tomatoes is that they're not like regular jams where you can just, you know, forego the boiling and that. You need to go through the whole process. And companies like, you know, Ball jars and stuff like that, you know, and lots of things you can find online where they talk about, like, you know, after you can and leaving, you know, like about a quarter inch from the top, especially if you're canning salsas or tomato sauces and that stuff, and always using fresh tops and lids and stuff like that. And using, you know, the boiling baths or pressure cookers and stuff. That's important to keep the tomatoes, you know, whatever you're making, the sauces or whatever, as healthy as possible. So follow those directions exactly, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, if it doesn't pop, you know, or if it has that little where it makes that noise, put it in the refrigerator and then use it up, you know, within 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. But for the most part, you should be okay with a lot of the canning methods that are out there.
Follow the directions. I like that, Deb. Thank you so much for that tip, because we don't always do it. And for all of the rest of the conversation here we've had about tomatoes, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, too.
This has been a lot of fun. Deb Melian is an online writer, recipe developer, homemaker, and traveler. Her website, WisconsinHomemaker.com, has her favorite family-friendly recipes, along with helpful seasonal tips for your home and garden. And you can find the recipes for classic caprese salad, cheesy tomato onion tart, and those Wisconsin fried green tomatoes over at WPR.org/Food Friday.